All right, so tonight we want to start looking at our authority in his name. Praise God forevermore. Our authority in his name. And as we grow, we'll begin to understand more and more why we're looking along these lines tonight and this particular season. We'll begin to understand more and more why God is leading us along these lines. Hallelujah. All right, while he's doing that, go with me to Philemon. We're introducing it tonight. Philemon 6. It has some scriptures you can quote by heart. You would think the preacher is reading it, but he's not reading it, just quoting. Hallelujah. By now, you should know what is Philemon 6. That the communication of thy faith will become what? Effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing, which is where? In you, in Christ Jesus. All right, so we're looking at this subject afresh because our understanding needs to be more comprehensive with respect to what we already have. We don't need new knowledge. We need a fresh understanding of the knowledge we already have. And when we give ourselves to prayer and fasting, because we're humbling our souls before the Lord. When I say humble your soul, I'm not talking about something shameful. I'm talking about a deliberate act of worship where you're submitted to God's will in the place of prayer, and then you're coupling with fasting is an act of worship. What you want to do is you want to pay more attention to spiritual realities so that you can walk better in light of that which God has given to you in Christ Jesus. Say amen. So it says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by what? The acknowledging of every good thing, which is where? In you, in Christ Jesus. And most of the prayers that we have, we sometimes call them the Pauline prayers, but it wasn't only Paul that mentioned that. We also have Peter saying some of the same things about that comprehension. The word acknowledging means to supernaturally comprehend, to have precise knowledge, to have a precise understanding, to have a good grasp of the facts. So there are facts that you and I will need to comprehend to a greater degree for our work not just to be faithful, for our work to be fruitful. It says the communication, that's your faith in expression, may become effectual by the acknowledging. That's what comprehension. So it's not casual knowledge. It's not just head knowledge. Is actually revelation knowledge that has become a part and parcel of you. It says, by the acknowledging, that is a coming to grasp of the facts of every good thing which is in you by reason of your union with Christ Jesus. So we're looking at our authority in his name. I'm just going to just introduce tonight and then the next few days. But look at Acts chapter 19. I'm going to read from verse 13. Acts chapter 19 and from verse 13. As a background, I'm going to read from verse 9. Let's start from verse 9. But when divers were heading and believed not. Now, so when you hear believed not, it means a message was preached. Something was taught or proclaimed. So to believe not means that they heard the truth. Then they, by an exercise of their will, rejected the truth. It says, when divers were heading. So there was something spoken in order for them to have an entry point into the kingdom of God. Paul preached. And in preaching, Paul declared God's word. He presented the gospel of Jesus. And when Paul was preaching, there was a response that came from certain individuals. He says, when divers were hardened. So, again, hardening is a function of how men choose to react to the gospel. It's a choice. It wasn't the message that hardened them. It was the message that revealed the hardness of their hearts. So, here's God saying the door is open. And the door is open in a particular name, in the name of Jesus. And as we go on, we begin to emphasize that more. So when divers were adding and believed not, but spoke evil of that way. In Christianity back then was called the way. That was the way. That was the message that was given. It was called the way. He departed from them and separated the disciples. Who are disciples? Those who believed. So he took those who believed in him and allowed there to be a mixture. It separated those who believed from those who didn't believe or those who had a hardening. And it says, and he was disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. So he began to teach and to build those who were disciples, those who had received the message. See what it says? And this continued by the space of 2 years. Say to your neighbor, it takes time. to raise disciples. Can you see 2 years? Teaching. Notice the word daily. So, you know, our own daily year is Wednesday and Sunday. Okay, so their daily is how many days? Every day. So there was in the evening. Paul would walk with me, then in the evening we would come together and they were teaching. And one thing they didn't do was they didn't tell us how many hours. They just told us it disputed daily. And to dispute means you put scriptures side by side, you compare, you begin to show. So while the message of the gospel was preached, let's say Paul preached for an hour or two, they believed. The explanation of what they have believed took more time. Can you see that? The explanation of what they have believed. So when you receive the gospel in a few seconds, the understanding of what you have received takes a lifetime. It says that the communication of your faith may become so. You already have faith. The faith was given to you by the gospel. But the expression of that faith has a lot to do with comprehension. So the more you comprehend, the faith you already have will find more expression. Now let me say it this way. A lot of times when we see some of these things working this way, we think God is getting busier in our lives. No, you are complaining more. What does that mean? You are acknowledging more. And because you are acknowledging more, you are seeing God's grace at work more, but the grace has always been there. Say amen. God is a respecter of persons. So, Paul disputed daily. He says, this continued for a space of 2 years. Okay? So, look at verse. So that all they which dwelt in Asia had the word of Lord Jesus, the word of Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks, and God wrought. So, in the process of teaching consistently. Now, let me say this. You know, sometimes we have this mindset of, if I stay with you long enough, God will see my faithfulness and do certain things. You are right. But we have to stay within context. Some were hardened. Some believed. Among those who believed, Christ began to rule in their hearts. As Paul was teaching, so while Paul is teaching, what does the scripture teach us about the going forth of the word? The Lord will walk, confirming the word with signs following. The Lord will work with, by confirming the word, with signs following. So as Paul continued giving out the word, that was split material. That was enough for God to confirm. So notice what happened. While he was teaching in that space of 2 years, and God wrought special or unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick one handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease parted from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Look at verse 13. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them, which had evil spirits, the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now, where did they get the practice from? They got it from Paul. Why would they call on the name if they have not seen somebody call the name before? So it means in the meetings of Paul, when people were possessed or demonized, Paul would use the name. But beyond that, the working of God's power got so strong. Paul was focused in one place. And he disputed daily for a place of period of 2 years. And while Paul was teaching in a concentrated manner, he noticed after a while that even any garment that touched his body carried the same power that was present in the spoken word. Over time, it was over time. They discovered over time. So they discovered that while Paul is teaching, the same power will be present in anything you put on his body. Handkerchiefs and aprons, they were taking his body. That means, as though when Paul was preaching, those handkerchiefs came in contact with his body, and then they would take them to where those ones are. And the same miracles they saw when Paul was present were the miracles they saw when the handkerchiefs and aprons were taken to those who had needed. Are you with me tonight? Now, notice certain of the vagabond. Now, when it says vagabond Jews here, you know, he says, when divers were hardened and believed not. So vagabond means those who were not part of disciples. Rogues. Okay? Rogues means of no particular commitment. They were exorcists. You know what exorcist is? Hallelujah. How many of us have heard the word exorcist before? Those who cast out devils. How do you think they do it? They use a higher demon to cast out a lower one. Yes. You know, they accused Jesus in Matthew 12. That was casting out devils by the prince of Beelzebub. So they understood the practice that you can use a higher demon to cast out a lower one. And Jesus said something to them. A kingdom divided against itself cannot what? It cannot stand. So that means if you keep doing that, both you that you are doing, and the one you are doing it to, both of you will fall. But look at what it says there. So, and they were 7 sons of one Sceva. I don't understand how all 7 sons follow the same route. They went the same way. You shall know is one Sceva, who happens to be a Jew. Unfortunately, a chief of the priests. You can see they were really vagabond. They're not even in the temple. So while their father was busy arguing in the temple, they were busy doing the exorcism. Okay, so seven sons of one keeper, chief of priests, we did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But who are ye? Can you see that? Jesus, I know. In the same way I know him, I know Paul. Because of identification. What did Paul say that we can use to qualify what the demon said? I am crucified with Christ. Galatians 2:20. Look at Galatians 2:20. All right, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of what? The Son of God, who loved me and what? Gave himself. Notice Paul's words. The life I now live, I live by the faith of. And as listening to us, not faith in. I live by the faith of. So the faith of means all he has accomplished. The faith deposited by his accomplishment is a faith I live by. So the faith of means my beginning is in him, in what he has accomplished, which is his name, which we're going to look into as we go on. So the faith of is speaking about the end. That which Christ has accomplished is my own beginning. That accomplishment, therefore, the faith of what he has done is the faith that causes me to live today. So the life I now live. So Paul was saying, when you see Christ, you see me. When you see me, you see Christ. Paul is saying, I don't have a life of my own. Everything that pertains to me is borrowed to Christ. So when you see me, all you can see is who? Is Christ. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of, or so to speak, is like proxy. Christ is finding expression through me, what? Daily. So, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? So obviously, in calling the name wasn't a secret. J-E-S-U-S can be a pronunciation from your lips. By the way, in Greek, that's not the way it's pronounced. In Hebrew, that's not the way it's pronounced. In fact, in Hebrew, it's 6 letters, not 5. So people that say, Jesus, J-E-S-U-S, 5 is the number of grace. That's permutation and combination. No, it's more than that. It's not even in the pronunciation. You can say Jesus. You know, it's not in pronunciation. They called the way Paul called without knowing what Paul knew. They called using the name without being possessors of the name. Everything Paul did, he did the name. Handkerchiefs and aprons got impregnated with God's power using the name. So when Paul said, it's no longer I that live, but Christ that what liveth in me. Paul was saying, I'm a living expression of the name. That's what Paul was saying. So calling the name doesn't automatically mean it will work. The communication of your faith will become effectual by the acknowledging. As a matter of fact, the greater the understanding you have of that name, the less you will use the name casually. You'll be more reverential in calling the name. You'll be more careful in calling the name. You're even more deliberate in calling. That means there is a measure that you are consciously releasing when you're calling the name, when you comprehend more with respect to what that name stands for. Hallelujah. That's what will happen. You just become a bit more conscious. Be more careful. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Go with me to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. I'm going to read from verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And this sign shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out what? Devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So notice the first instruction. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized. So the gospel is either to be believed or to be rejected. Those who believed, they will be saved. Those who reject shall be damned. Then there are signs that will follow the believing ones. So that means the gospel and the name are synonymous. Let me say it again. You proclaim the gospel. What is the gospel? That's an interesting question. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Because this is not the first time he's asking them to go preach. So there's a difference between what is asking them to do now and what he had asked them to do previously. In Matthew chapter 10, we see something. Verse 1. And when they had called unto him, his 12 disciples, he gave them what? Power against unclean spirits, to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. I'm going to jump all the names. Verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent forth, notice, and commanded them. He gave them charge. So they were going to do something that they're going to preach. What they're about to preach now, look at what it says. Go not into the way of the Gentiles. Notice specific instructions. And not into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not. But go rather to the lordship of the house of Israel. Can you see a limited scope of authority? They are to go. We also saw in Mark 16, they are to go. But in Matthew chapter 10, they are also to go. But notice what happened. He gave them power. The power was against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Verse 5 again. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded. He gave them charge. Go not into the way of Gentiles or into any city of Samaritans, enter ye none. But go rather to the lordship of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is what? At hand. So, what is my kingdom of heaven? That is, that which was promised right from Genesis is about to manifest. So, Jesus, in his incarnation, was a foretaste of the fulfillment of the prophecies of the prophet. Let me say it again. You know, for me to say that, I say that with a clause, because when you see Jesus in the four Gospels, you are seeing the interpretation of the Old Testament of the Holy Scriptures. God will become a man. It was in prophecy. Do you all be taught of God? It was in prophecy. Will be all this glory, which John said in John chapter 1 verse 14. It was already in prophecy. David had already asked to behold God's glory. And God said, you will see me, but not now. Okay? And the end of you seeing me. So seeing me, God becoming flesh, is not the end. The end is, I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. That did not happen in the four Gospels. That happened at the resurrection of Jesus. So what Moses wrote down in Exodus 33 is condensed word revelation. That is, you will see me. What did Moses ask? I want to see your glory. Show me your glory. And then Jesus, God answered him, you cannot see my face. No, not now. The question is, did I ask for your face? I asked for your glory. And God is saying, you cannot see my face. So in other words, God was calling Moses' attention to something about his request. You are asking to see my glory. I'm telling you, my glory is I will appear as a man. That's me, my fullness. I will appear as a man, because that is the journey to me expressing all I've planned from the beginning. I'll first become a man. I'll be Christ the Messiah, the promised one, the one that Israel is looking forward to. Then from there, I'll become the Savior of the world. Now pay attention. As Christ the Messiah, he had a name, a reputation, a standing, what he could accomplish, what the prophet said he could do. That was the scope of his name. Say amen. You call 12 people who have been with you for a while. You send them out. You give them power over unclean spirits. But the Bible doesn't tell us what kind of power he gave them. He just said he gave them power over unclean spirits. Now they must have been with him and seen him demonstrate. And what he was demonstrating was what he also gave to them. He now says, now you are going to go to places that I won't go. It was like a training precursor to show them what they will need to accomplish. Remember that in the Old Testament, there was a practice. The prophets always had a mentee or someone they could send. How many remember that? How many remember when the woman's son died in days of Elisha? Who did Elisha send them? First of all, Gehazi. The Gehazi represented Elisha well. He gave him his staff. When he get there, put this staff on the child. Gehazi came back. He didn't work. He said, it didn't work. In your hand, it did not work. Okay, no problem. So it's obvious covetousness has been hiding inside you for a long time. You just say it didn't work now. The staff, it didn't work. In your hand, it failed. Like holding rod of Moses, I say it didn't work. Moses said, this rod. Bro, something's wrong with your heart. You need help. Something wrong. Of course, we call it what was in his heart. That covetousness was hiding somewhere inside his heart. I sent you, say it didn't work. You know what he was meant to receive is an inheritance, which is he should continue the office of the prophet. he continued the office of a leper. Indian leprosy. He should have been the one to continue in that office. But he embraced leprosy instead. So he said he sent him with the rod. It was meant to work. That is, whatever I would do, this rod would do. But because his heart wasn't right, he couldn't. So they had been with Jesus in training. He now sent them out. Delegated authority is limited. He even told them the scope. Don't go to Samaria. Don't go the way of the Gentiles. Go to the lordship of the house of Israel. That's the scope of his authority in the four Gospels. And a man's authority and his name, that's synonymous. I'm saying this because as we go on, listen carefully. The purpose of the teaching is to prepare our hearts concerning what God is going to do in the coming year, in the season that we're stepping into. Because again, listen carefully. Evangelizing without the power that is meant to back it up is a fruitless exercise. The more confident you have of what you have, the more comprehension you have, the bolder you become in going forth in the name. So in the four Gospels, Jesus called them in Matthew 10. So we see this is not the first time he's sending them forth. So we have to make a distinction between the two times. This time around, stay with the lordship of the house of Israel. That was the scope of Jesus' authority. Again, Matthew 15. We'll come back here. Look at Matthew 15. Matthew 15. And I'm going to read from verse 21. Then Jesus went hence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. Why would a woman come calling him Lord and you son of David? Samaritans were half-breed Jews. Well, in this case, she was of the coast of Tyre and Sidon. She was also called a Canaanite. Right? But she obviously had a knowledge of scriptures. She knew to call him Lord. She also called him the son of David, which was a scriptural title. So I looked at what Jesus, but he answered that not a word. Disciples came and besought him, saying, you know, send her away, for she's crying after us. She's making noise. She's embarrassing us. Jesus obviously was embarrassed. Because you will think initially that Jesus is ignoring her, but Jesus is not ignoring her. Say God doesn't ignore men. No, he doesn't ignore men. No, he doesn't. But if you just watch the actions on the surface, you will assume that he's ignoring her. All right, so he answered her not a word. Disciples came and besought him, saying, that's verse 23, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I'm not sent but unto, notice, the lordship of the house of Israel. So why wasn't he responding? He was not sent but unto. In his earthly walk, Jesus had a limited scope of authority. What's the authority? I'm sent unto the lordship of the house of Israel. So notice, then came she and worshipped him, saying, listen to what she said, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now notice, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which what? Fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said, O woman, great is your word, faith. Be it unto thee even as you will. Can you see that? So notice Jesus trying to say there's this limited scope of authority I have now. He is the savior of the old world potentially, but at the time he was walking on the shores of Galilee, he was the shepherd of the house of Israel. So he had a limited scope. So go back to chapter 10 now. We're doing a contrast as we study, because again, when we put the scriptures together, our understanding is greatly enabled. So verse 7, chapter 10, verse 7. Are you there? All right, as you go preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, how are you going to preach? Look at what you're going to do to preach. It says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have what? Receive, freely give. So notice the scope of authority. You are to heal, you are to cleanse, you are to raise the dead, you are to cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely what? Give. So they had that kind of authority, that kind of power that was given to them in the four Gospels by Jesus. Jesus had that kind of reputation, or that was the scope of his name. Again, Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Glory to God. Acts chapter 10. As we spend time to pray and wait upon the Lord, I trust God that at the end of this series, when you are called upon to intervene in a situation, the name will mean something else upon your lips. It will not be casually used. It will be deliberately used. It will be you measuring out the power of God in situations of life. Say amen. Our authority in the name. Verse 34. Peter in the house of Cornelius. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and walketh righteousness is accepted with him. Verse 36, the word which God sent unto who? Who did God send the message to? So who was expecting the promised Messiah? The children of Israel. Not the whole world, children of Israel. Then by extension, they were the model and the examples, and then through them, the whole world. That's the plan. So, the one which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, is Lord of all. That one I say you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee, and after the baptism which John preached. So, this is the gospel that was the basis for what the disciples went around saying. They had power to heal the sick, to cast out devils. They could even raise the dead. But what was the gospel? The kingdom of God is at hand. How do we put it at hand? The sick will be healed. They must be cast out. And in some cases, lepers will be cleansed and the dead will be raised. The kingdom is at hand. So it says, and God anointed what? Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Notice, nothing was said here about forgiveness of sins. Nothing was said here about salvation. The scope of his name is that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost with power. He went about doing good, healing all. So he had a reputation for healing. His name, he was a healer. Everybody knew that it was healing. His name could heal because healing was part of his reputation. So go back with me now to Mark 16. Are you there? Verse 15 again, I said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Notice the difference that he that believeth and is baptized. So, what kind of gospel are they preaching? The kingdom of God is at hand. I want to see if you are falling. Some of us look like we are half asleep. Hallelujah. Did you have a long day? Okay. Or is it fasting? It's a fasting. Pastor is the fasting. One day we'll do 3 days together. We'll camp in church. We don't trust you at home. Yes. May take coke. Or colored water. So we'll come to church, we'll come 3 days. If you are too thirsty, we allow you water. No food for 3 days. And we'll pray. Hallelujah. Just to train yourself, just to train your system. You can do it. You won't die. It's a promise. You will not die. You will not. If you faint, you will wake you up. Or your life will change. Hallelujah. You know, your tummy complains about food for after a while, you know, we not keep quiet. To keep quiet. So, winning the battle of your tummy keeping quiet is that's where the battle is. After a while, you shut up. Are you there? He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. So, notice, they are still casting out devils. They will speak with new tongues. That wasn't present in the initial instruction. No new tongues. Number two, they could lay hands on the sick, isn't it? In the previous name. But in his name here, notice the first thing that was said. Before he spoke about signs, he that believeth and is what? Immersed. That's baptized. The believing is a baptism. He's not talking about a baptism. He that believeth and is baptized, not two different things. To believe is to be what? Baptized. So to believe means you are immersed into the reality of what he has done. That's what it means to believe. That's why the next thing he doesn't say, but he that believeth not shall not be baptized. No. He that believeth not shall be damned. That's what he says. So the name here and the name in Matthew 10 are not the same. As a matter of fact, look at Luke chapter 10. Look at Luke 10. Because we want to make certain comparisons that are important. Luke chapter 10. And I read from verse 17. Luke 10, 17. And the 17 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are what? Subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And behold, I give unto you power to turn on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means what? Hurt you. Now notice, he is not speaking to the new creation, he is speaking to the 70. What do the 70 have? Power to turn upon serpents and scorpions. That means to disarm evil spirits. So I give unto you power. He's explaining what was already said in Matthew 10. What was said in Matthew 10? Power against unclean spirits. And to heal the sick, to heal lepers, and to raise the dead. So it's further explaining in Luke chapter 10 here. That's what he's saying. Are you following? All right. So notice what Jesus says now. He says, I first beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give you. So see now, I've already given you authority. Okay. To tread on serpents and scorpions and over power of the enemy. And not to my enemies or to you. He's talking to the 70. Not to you, not to me. Our authority is different. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. So this is limited. This is for a time. This is not the goal. This is a precursor to the goal. This is not where we're going. This is a lay-by on the journey. So the name that was given to them at that time is not the name that was given to them in Mark chapter 16. You need to understand that. It's not the same. The name Mark chapter 16 is a greater scope of authority, and it means something different almost entirely. Hallelujah. That's why at different times, Jesus will ask the question. For instance, in Matthew 10, after they had spent time going around, don't go to anywhere except the lordship of that of Israel, he will ask them a question. Look at Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16, verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked disciples saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Why is he asking the question? He had sent them out. They had gone. They had worked miracles. They had healed the sick. They had cast out devils. When you were going in your interactions, what did men say about me? What did you hear them say about me? So the actions of Jesus before Gospels, they are not actions that can make you arrive at the full revelation of who Christ is. Let me say it again. Look at what it says again. It says, who do men say that? And he said, some say you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. Others, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. Can you see that? So Jesus was asking the question based on your experience so far. What do you think men have said? Then after he said, who do you think, even you, that you have walked in the power and the authority, who do you think you say Son of Man is? Then only Peter could speak. And Buddha said, you are what? Christ, the Son of what? The living God. What revelation is that? He's simply explaining what John had already said in John's Gospel, chapter 1. The Word became flesh. We beheld His glory. The glory as of what? The only begotten of the Father, full of grace. And that grace is what? The truth. So that is a man on a mission. The mission is yet to be accomplished. What's the first leg of mission? Word became flesh and tabernacled. Verse 18. The Bible says, no man has seen God at any time this way, but the only begotten, who is in the person of the Father, he has come to what? Declare him. So when you're looking at Jesus in the four Gospels, remember, he had been prophesied by the prophets, his incarnation. Isaiah chapter 9. Look at the name in incarnation. Isaiah chapter 9 verse 6. Glory, glory, glory. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto all the child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting what? Father, the Prince of Peace. Notice, his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the what? The Prince of Peace. Isaiah 7, 14. Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall what? Conceive and bear a son. You shall call his name what? Okay, so Isaiah 7:14 and John 1:14 are one and the same. How many of you agree with that? What's John 1:14 again? What's John 1:14 again? And the Word became flesh. What is Emmanuel? God is with us as one of us. Don't forget that. I know when you use God among us, God is with us. Yes, as one of us. He's with us as one of us. Or the Word put on what? Flesh. And tabernacled among us. So he's with us as one of us. That's his name. Emmanuel means that. So notice different names. They speak about different faces, different things he will accomplish. So when Jesus is speaking, so go back with me now. Now you have seen all that. So go back with me now to Mark chapter 16 again. Because you will only appreciate the authority and the name when we begin to put all the facts together gradually as we go on. It's important. The different faces, the different times. Okay? So, in that Mark chapter 16, let's go back a little bit to verse 14. See what it says. And afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and what? Hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had what? Seen him after he was risen. So now, Mark does something here. Mark jumps from the time Jesus appeared to them after resurrection and jump straight to the commission Jesus gave them. He does give us an explanation of what happened after Jesus appeared to them and rebuked them, because he rebuked their what? Unbelief. People went to testify to them about Jesus being risen from the dead, yet they still did not believe. So Mark doesn't tell us the process. Mark just simply tells us the commission Jesus gave to them. And we know that they eventually believed. How do we know? Because they were given a commission. And that only happened after they have believed. Look at Matthew's rendering. Look at Matthew's rendering. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, a place where he told them he would come to them. He says, and when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Can you see that now? So he has appeared. Now listen carefully. The appearance of Jesus physically was not enough to produce faith. That's very important. It was not enough to produce faith. You know what I'm saying? If I see Jesus at night, if he comes to me, I will believe. He won't believe. It doesn't mean you believe. Now, these are people who have been with him for 3.5 years. He appeared. The translators use the word, and some doubted. Actually, the proper renderings are, they doubted. The word doubt means that they hesitated. They were not fully responding. They were like, Is he the one? Is he really the one? So some hesitated. This is Jesus appearing. And they still what? Hesitated. John's Gospel 20. We're establishing certain things as we go on. John's Gospel 20, verse 2. Glory, 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 glory. Okay, or let's read from verse 1. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved. That's John himself who is writing. He take away, and they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Then Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciples who came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciples did outrun Peter. So John was more fit. Hallelujah. I came first. So it's not today that competition started. So to sepulchre. And he stooping down and looking in, what message did they hear from Mary? They've taken away my Lord. That was the message Mary gave to them. So they came to check. So they both ran together. Then Peter stooped. He didn't enter. He looking in, saw the linen clothes, yet he didn't go in. Then comment Simon Peter. So the disciples, as John came, he looked, he didn't enter. He saw the linen clothes lying, didn't see Jesus. Then when Simon Peter came following him, that one went straight to the sepulchre and said the linen clothes lying, and a napkin that was about him, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in the place by itself. Then went in also the other disciples who came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. What did he believe? You think that word means that he believed Jesus was Jesus? No. He believed they've taken him away. Ha! They finally succeeded. He has been kidnapped. His body has been kidnapped. They've taken him. So notice verse 9. Oh, glory to God. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must what? Rise again from the dead. Now, John is writing deliberately. Remember, John is writing after the fact. John was not a believer. He was an apostle. Before he became one, he was saying, as of that time, they didn't know the scripture. They couldn't believe. This is very important. When we put scriptures together, two things. It is the preaching of the word that causes faith to come. The appearance of Jesus will not necessarily cause faith to come. It is what you hear via the gospel that causes faith to come. So then faith comes by hearing, and that hearing is from the word of God. Or what causes hearing to come alive is from the substance of what? The word of God. So then faith comes by hearing. He didn't say faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And that hearing is lodged in the word of God. That means there's something in the word of God with respect to salvation that will open a man's heart to believe. Glory to God. Romans 10:17. There's something. So, did they see proof that the tomb is empty yet? Did they believe? No. As of that time, they didn't know the scripture that it should rise. And this is the background of all the activities of the 40 days teaching. Jesus appeared. We saw in Matthew 28, when he appeared unto them, they still doubted. They were still hesitating. We saw in Mark chapter 16, from verse 14, he was rebuking them for the hardness of their heart. That is unwillingness to accept. The only thing Mark didn't do, Mark didn't tell us the process by which they believed. Matthew didn't tell us the process by which they believed. He just told us that as the time Jesus appeared to them, some were still doubting. So we are left to John, and John is telling us here also that look at what happened. That Peter saw the empty tomb. John saw the empty tomb. All they could believe was they must have taken him away. As of that time, they knew not the scripture that he should rise. Listen carefully. The name of Jesus is attached to his resurrection. The name of Jesus is not in his death. The name of Jesus is in his resurrection. Because he's not the first to die, but he's first to rise and never to die again. Hallelujah. So, though it is written that he will die, his name, his glory, his reputation, his importance is not in that he died. That's why Paul will tell us years after, if Christ is preached that he rose not, then what then we do call the gospel? Say, you don't call that gospel. If all you preach is Christ died, if he didn't preach that he rose, because until Christ rose, the benefit of his death could not be harvested. So in that he died is a face, is a means to an end. The death was never a destination in conclusion. It was a means to an end. So in his resurrection, the benefit of his death was given to us. Glory to God. In my Romans 10 again, verse 8. Look at Romans 10, 8. Are you getting something tonight? So even if you have been going out to preach the gospel before, as we begin to look into this closely, you get a better understanding. Because again, let me say it this way. When you go out and preach the gospel, let me say it this way. There are people that will believe as you preach. Listen carefully. And their facial expression will not change. So if you are fooled by the senses, brother, you know, when you are speaking softly, you cannot see any physical, you know, they are changing. Everyone doesn't just like, I beg you, say, You cannot deceive God. You have left gospel now. You have entered senses. You know why? Because you want to see something that will encourage you. God doesn't encouragement. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. It's the power of God. Now, this, you know, if they left it to you, what you call power is different from what God calls power. If he left it to you, when you are preaching, someone just breaks down, just falls down. Saying, that's power. No, you can fall down, a sinner, and rise up, a hardened sinner. So if I'm moved by what I just said, you have three of them. Two were crying. Somebody's face is dry. His heart is hard. His heart is hard. On Sunday, out of the three, the one who you say is hard is hard, the only one that came. The other two, they've gone back to the world. They just felt remorse for now. They didn't believe. But the other one, eyes were dry, but the heart was right. Because the gospel is working in the invisible part of man, the heart. So if you are waiting for something on the outside all the time, you are likely to miss God. I'm not saying it doesn't take place, but you're likely, because the gospel is power of God unto salvation. Where does salvation take place? In the heart of a man. Where the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Then, with the mouth, confession is made unto, he didn't say, and with tears is made up to salvation. It's confession. After the man has believed where with the heart. So if you lose your heart, even without external tears, he confesses. What happens? He is saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What are they meant to believe? You believe in your heart, the Lord Jesus, that God raised him, as raising from the dead, thou shalt be saved. How does a man believe? The gospel is the power. That means you are anointed to preach it. The gospel itself circumcises the hearts of those that hear it. You are not even called to persuade men. You are called to preach. The spirit behind your words is given to persuade men. That is the name of Jesus. Let me say, that's the name of Jesus. He's the one that persuades men. You are not the one. You can't persuade any man because you know what's in a man's heart. He knows what is in men's heart. And it's only in resurrection in his life that men can have life. And they have life how? Through his name. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You have life through his name. So where are we? If you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you shall believe where? In your heart. What do you believe? That God that is dead? Is that he's dead? Or that God has risen from the dead? 1 Corinthians 15. Quickly, we'll have to stop soon to pray. Hallelujah. So because we need to do a proper job now, because you need to put the facts together. Okay? So never mind, you will put the facts as we teach together, then the name will mean more to you from this time forward. You will not rush to pray for people. You will not rush to just lay hands. You will pray deliberately, expecting nothing but results. First Corinthians 15, verse 14, please, quickly. Our authority in his name. If Christ be not risen, what is vain? Our preaching is vain. What happens next? Your faith is also vain. Can you see the sequence? Our preaching, what we are proclaiming, is not true. Because in that resurrection is the validity of our message. So, if Christ was not raised, if he only died, that's not gospel. The gospel is in the fact that he rose. So, look at next verse. Yeah, and we have found false witnesses because we have testified of God that he raised up Jesus, whom he raised not up, if it's true that dead don't rise. Look at next verse quickly. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. Look at verse 17. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are what? Yet in your sins. When Romans 4:25 says that it was delivered for our offenses, what happens next? It was raised, what? Again for our, so that he died for offenses, still does not free you, except he brandishes receipt of payment by his life. Glory to God. He brandishes receipt of payment for your offenses by coming out of the dead. That's the name. So when Jesus was telling them, go into all the world and preach the gospel, he that believeth, something will happen. What was happening before when you preach in his name? You will heal the sick, you will cleanse the lepers, you will raise the dead. Notice every one of those instructions happens physically to people. But there's something that will happen now in this gospel. Something will happen to the invisible part of men, their hearts. Only one person that gets to a man's heart, God himself, in the resurrection of Jesus. So that means the name that was given to them in Mark 16 is different from the name that they exercised in the four gospels. I mean, if you understand that, absolutely. And tomorrow we'll begin to compare some of the gospels a bit more so that you can see the difference, because that difference is so important. When those seven sons of Sceva came and said that, Jesus we know, but Paul we know, that was a phrase that could never be used in the four gospels. It couldn't be used. Because the word know there means that these two are one. You and Christ are one. I said you and Christ are one. I said you and Christ are one. So no matter who was healed, which leper was cleansed, who was raised from the four gospels, what is common to all of them, they will still die. That was the limit of the name in the four gospels. So people received him as healer. To them, that was the name. Some called him prophet. To them, that was the name. But when he rose from the dead, I am the resurrection. I am the life. Whosoever believeth in me shall not perish. But shall have what? The light of life. Glory to God. That's the name. It's different. It's different. The commission is different now. The name is different now. Reputation is different now. In this name, men are saved. Men are rescued from works of darkness. Hallelujah. Greater authority, greater power, greater standing. Definitely greater works. Hallelujah. The dead be not raised. Our preaching is vain. Your faith is vain. And you are yet in your sins. Say, I'm no longer in my sins. Because Christ is risen. He was raised again for my justification. His name means I'm free from my sins forever. Hallelujah. Nobody in four gospels could claim that. Nobody in four gospels could claim that. And that's why, even before the disciples, why did Jesus take that much time? We're going to continue tomorrow. I'm going to stop here so we can pray. Why did Jesus take that much time? Because again, the harmony of the gospel shows us whatever Mark did not say, Matthew will say. Whatever Matthew didn't say, John will highlight. The areas where John might miss, Luke will explain to us. So that when we put them together, we'll begin to see the importance we're going to place upon his authority, his standing, and his word stature. Because as you read those scriptures and your thoughts, suddenly you already have the name. But your value for the name increases. Because your understanding is now what? Enlightened. So when you are using, you are backed up by facts. Let me give you another illustration. Let's assume that there is an all-purpose card. Okay, I went to preach in the Ogbomosho Show 2 Sundays ago. And I went on Friday because of the distance. I was going to preach on Saturday and Sunday. I went on Saturday. They took me to an hotel and I went. My host took me out, forgotten what we went out for. By the time we came back, the card key, wasn't working. So One of the janitors walking the passage saw that I was trying to open and couldn't open, so he brought out another key card. This one did not have any number on it. He just used it to open, took my key to, for them to go and reprogram it, and brought it back. His own key card is a master key. He opens all doors. He's a janitor. He's cleaning the rooms. His own car key opens all doors. Mine can only open that door. And even the door it meant to open, somehow the programming, the timing, there's a time frame, I think. So he needed to go and give it to them and reception to be programming, but he had a master key in his card, in his pocket, which he brought out and temporarily used to give me access. Are you me tonight? Now, there are people who carry a gold card with respect to banking, acceptable in any country, not limited to a region or a state or a locality or even a continent. It's a gold card. It's valid in any nation on the earth. Hallelujah. If they swipe it anywhere, their credit is good because of the card. That is the kind of name we have, the name of Jesus. There's only one resurrection and one life. His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. So now, why will you leave Nigeria with a gold card and you are in Dubai and you know things are expensive in Dubai and you are afraid to swipe? It's not because the card is not effective, because you don't have details about the card. You don't have details about the card. Now, again, if you have ever been to a five-star hotel, it's better for you to get to a four-star hotel than five-star, than seven-star. See, that seven-star, there's a problem. Problem is that there are things that are paid for because you're in that hotel. You may never know, except they tell you. So they can be bringing things past you. And part of the rule is that, in fact, they can even come and offer you things. You look at it, for the next 7 months, I can't pay for this. And it belongs to you just by being in that hotel. But you don't know. What will you do? I'll pass. I'm not hungry. I'm fine. You are hungry. We are thinking, 1 year's salary cannot pay this. So, from Monday night till this night, you have not eaten. You said that it's good to fast. Until your host tells you that, sir, the management told me that you are not eating. Are you angry? Is it that you want another kind of food? I say, no. I just feel that, you know, that their food is a bit on the high side. You want to be on the high side. Sir, you are in the highest place possible. Everything in the hotel belongs to you. Anything you point at automatically comes by being in the hotel. You are in Christ. You are already in Christ. You are already in Christ. Why are we educating you? It's not to give you more Christ. It's to make you understand more of what Christ means now. You're already there. We can't give you more Christ. You already have him. But you need to understand more. So that now, when you get to the room, you know. You know, there's some hotels that you go. If you touch anything in the room, when you're checking out, you're checking out. If you fly first class, most international flights, anything that is served in first class. You may be in first class and be hungry throughout because you think that whatever they are serving is an additional expense, but everything there belongs to you. You can struggle with the seatbelt in first class because it's different from the one that cannot come. And you could just save yourself problem by asking your neighbor who has been flying first class for a while that, sir, instead of this struggle, sir, just, it's my first time. You know, only one person will know, the other people don't know. But here you are battling. And everybody is now watching you and miss that. Johnny just come. You could have asked the other person, sir, will you just signal to you? Just press this one. The button is here. Those who have been flying for long, they know where to go. You are just coming. You think it's by force. You can apply button. The thing will realize you want to sleep. But this is how you sat throughout the flight. It's 12 hour flight. You could have slept because you are in force and it's already paid for. You know the suffering is paid for? The suffering. My journey as a believer in the early days, in the early 90s, I remember I was already saved. I would have dreams, which used to be chasing me. I wake up, Jesus. You couldn't even say it well. The bad part was that sometimes some things should happen to you, it will help you. Because I have fasted. The fasting is not from fear. Because this thing must not come back tonight. Because they didn't get me yesterday, they may get me today. They feel as though if they succeed, you will not wake up in this life. You have watched many much African magic. So it doesn't say there was no African magic, but you know, you kind of think they watch you. So like if they get in tonight, that's how somebody will not just wake up again. You know, they've told your kind of stories. They just call you, just answer, oh. Too much is stopping you. It's stopping you. How many people did you see that they call like that, they didn't wake up again? You have heard too much stories. That's the problem. And God just helped me. I fasted, I prayed. He didn't, the attack just reduced, it didn't stop. Then I just began to get more light. The more I got revelation, the automatically just stopped. What I was talking prayer. So prayer is not the master key. The word of God is the master key. Prayer is not the master key. The word of God is what? Master key. That the communication of your faith may become what? Effectual. The next time you shake hands with the sick, may the power of God flow through you. May the name of Jesus cancel out everything. The next time you meet somebody who is troubled in life, whether it's their sanity or their emotions, where they are psychologically unbalanced, when you shake hands and you speak and you whisper the name, may there be peace and stability in their hearts. In the name of Jesus. He has given us a gift to give to the world. As it's impossible for Jesus to stand before a demonized person and the demons will stay, it's impossible also for such to stand before you and they will retain their demons. That's why we're looking at this, because God is preparing us against the days that are coming. Hallelujah. 2023, in gathering. In gathering. I said in gathering. Much harvest. In gathering. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. In Jesus' precious name. Now, we're going to pray for the favor of God. We received a word of prophecy about praying. It said, throughout this month, Spirit of God said there will be favor like a canopy over this assembly. And he also says that by choice, we can pray and push that cloud all the way to March. And he told us that in March, in the country, we're going to see some level of hardship. He said, but we can pray that that same favor. Now, when you see favor at work, grace of God at work, you see doors opening. You see things working very fast. You see also things, see supernatural ease all over the place. Now he says we can pray and push that thing beyond November. That means it's up to us. That means God is not stipulating and saying it must be November only. He says, no, you can pray. No, yeah, we can ask the Lord of the harvest. You can ask him. You can ask, really ask for rain. In a time of rain, the Lord will make what? Bright clouds. That's Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1. You can ask him. What we're going to focus more on this week in our own personal prayer life, when we pray at home, is we're going to do more praying tomorrow, the day after, about the will of God, because it's so important next year. Okay? So the prayer points that you're going to receive are going to be because there's a way that seemeth right unto a man. If you know the reason why we thought about tribe, is because when God is leading, its appearance to the senses is not always pleasant. But he already has a surprise at the end of the way. So your will has to be so submitted that you don't step out of the spirit into the flesh. Do you understand? That's why we're praying, the kind of prayers we're praying now, is so that consciously and unconsciously, you are just submitted. So that you don't fight what God is doing when it's taking you to where it's taking, because it does not seem to line up with what you call how things should look like. That's why we're praying, the way we're praying for this next 3 days, that is today, tomorrow, day after, so that what will happen as things begin to unfold towards the end of this year. Some people will have some things that will happen before Christmas this year. This thing we're praying now, I just saw it now. Before Christmas this year, there will be a first phase of manifestation for some people that are here right now. Before Christmas this year. Just before Christmas this year. 22nd, some things will happen. Now, except your estala. For when the heart is aligned, and when the mind is at rest in the peace of God, then it's easier for the grace to remove and to hide, to remove and to hide, to remove and to hide. For some things will be removed and some things will be hardened. And the mind at peace, trusting the Lord, will not complain nor murmur nor struggle in the process, but there will be a yielding. And on the outside, the work of the angels will be easier to do. And I will bring you to the fullness of that which I promised to do. Glory to God. Glory to God. So liama sturiatia esorada kieta ekulagrias tekiase eselebrash ikasata. The siege with respect to the work of your hands for moving from point A to point B has seemingly been an impossible task. But I will move you from point A to point D. And in moving you, I will ensure the activity of angels. that will speak to men and change the minds of men and change the requirement so that you can be accepted. You can be accepted. You can be accepted. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We see so many things done. We see mighty works wrought. We see miracles pop up everywhere, supernatural ish. Oh, we thank you. All the testimonies abound in this season and the coming year. We are grateful. We therefore surrender, not as uncertainty, but with divine assurance. Oh, we run. We are stripped every limitation. Oh, pass everything. Nothing holds us back. Nothing hinders us. Nothing stands in our way. We give praise to you. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, blessed be your name, Father. Blessed be your name, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.